learned last time about the mile of Noisav Oilam Chaveroi, to carry the yoke of your friend. And this, we read it Baguf, that's to physically to help someone who needs help. We read it now B'mamlinu B'nefesh, but the concept of Noisav Oil applies to all of them. He says it Baguf, but then the help that he says B'mamlinu B'nefesh also is because you care and you recognize the need of your chaver, and you're extending yourself to help him. So let's just read those two, and then we'll talk about it some more. Vamamoin, v'sayeh b'asher tasig yodei, to help a person financially, however much he's able, v'lumnoya mimenu hanezokim b'kol ma'asher yuchal, and to prevent financial damage as much as possible, kol shekein sheyarchegu kol minei nezokim sheyecholim lovei machmasei. Certainly, this is something that we have to be so careful about, that to make sure that any financial difficulty that could happen to a person because of me shouldn't exist. To take away any hazards that I cause to people's financial success. Bein liyachid, whether it's to a yachid, bein l'rabim, or to a rabim. And this applies to leaving a faucet running. You know, in a yeshiva, leaving a faucet running. Someone's paying a bill for that. Just to think about it. To make sure it's closed tight. And things like that. So the higher mile is, if you see the water dripping out of the faucet, just the mushel, it's just 2 cents. But it's still, the point is you're extending yourself for a yeshiva is even a high madrega, but even for someone else. You're in somebody's house, if you use the sink and you don't care about the how much water you use. That's not being careful, the mamon chaveroi. To cause someone to have to hire someone, let's say, is somewhere where someone has to hire help to clean up. So depending on how you leave your room or your whatever it is, that's how much money they're going to have to spend to pay for help. So someone could push you, you could be causing them financial hazard by the way that you personally act. Even if it's not right now, it's not that matzui, even since it could happen. You know, sometimes we leave something around that we're not careful of, something that we say or something that we do. You know, it's not matzah, like what's going to happen already? You tell your friend about the third person, he's not trustworthy. What's going to happen? But 15 years later, he's going to decide not to do business with this guy because he's going to remember that someone told me he's not trustworthy. And it comes out that 15 years ago, you caused tremendous financial hazard. And so a person has to be so, so careful with his words and with his actions to think about the financial implications to other people. Yisirim, you should remove them, v'yavirim, and take them away. V'amru, z'chayna l'vracha, Chazal said, yihimamen chavercha, chaviv olecha kishalcha. Your friend's money should be as chaviv to you as your own. You know, people who, when they're on the company credit card, they have an extravagant vacation. When they're traveling on their own check, they'll take a very simple room. When they come into the hotel on business, and it's the company's credit card, they ask for a suite, you know. It's your friend's money has to be as chaviv as yours. Rav Aaron Cutler had took a certain salary for being Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood when he got the job. When he started the yeshiva, he got the job, he gave himself the job. And many, many times they tried to give him a raise because there wasn't enough money, and he always refused the raise. And if he felt like he doesn't need it, he's not taking it. And he had rickety, falling apart furniture. And there was one time that he walked into his house and the furniture was all replaced with new furniture. You know, they decided, like, it's crazy, the Rosh Hashiva needs to have normal furniture. And he made them return, his Rebbetzin made them return all of it. That might have been a little bit al precious. Also, he doesn't need to enjoy Olam Hazeh so much. But this concept that the Yeshiva's money is also chaviv to me. We try to you know, suck as much money as we can from other people as possible, that we shouldn't have to pay. It's not that way. Someone else's money is also chaviv. Benefesh. What's benefesh? Yishtadel lasayz lachaver kol tayras ruach sheyesh biyadei. A person should attempt to do for his friend whatever hana that he's able to. Bein v'inyanei hakavod, whether it comes to kavod, to give respect to a chaver. Bein v'kol shar inyanim, and any other inyanim. Kol ma shehu yadeya, anything that he knows. She'im ya'aseyu, that if he'll do them l'chaveri for his friend, he'll mekabel nachas ruach mimenu, he'll enjoy it, he'll get a nachas ruach from it. Mitzvas chasidus hu la'aseysay. It's from the midah of chassidus to do it. Kol shekein, so it's, you don't have to say shelo yitzarenu b'shuminei tzar klal, not to cause any type of tzar at all. Yia be'ez oifin shi, in any way that it could come out. Uklal kol zehu gemilus chassadim. The klal of everything that we said, beguf, b'momen, and b'nefesh, that's the klal called gemilus chassadim, which is one of the three pillars that the world stands on. Al shloish dvarim ha'olam oimed, al ha'torah v'al avodah v'al gemilus chassadim. Asher hifligu chachamenu zichrona lebracha b'shivcha, that Chazal spoke very, very much about its praise, how great the inyan of gemilus chassadim is, u'b'chay v'aseinu ba, and our tremendous obligation to gemilus chassadim. Ubechlal zeh, included in this is redivas hashalom, shehu ha'atava ha'klolus bein kol adam lachaveri. A general attempt to constantly make sure that there's shalom between bein adam lachaveri, not just between yourself and others, but even between a second and third party. We spoke about on Wednesday. We mentioned that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Noisin HaTorah. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's job. He's the Noisin HaTorah. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's our Rebbe. And the first story that we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu, the first thing the Torah teaches us about Moshe Rabbeinu is the care that he had for his Chaverim. Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe grew up, Pasuk says, Vayetze El Echov, and he went out to see his brothers. Let's understand, a lot of times we learn things, and the reason why they're not alive to us to take lessons from is because we're not envisioning it properly. We have to imagine Moshe Rabbeinu growing up, he was a prince. Rashi says that it was Ninehu Parai al Beisai. Rashi says he was in charge of Parai's household. He was an influential royal prince. He lived in the lap of luxury. The greatest Osher in the world was Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu lived in the palace of the greatest Ashiras that existed in the world. You can imagine in our terms, we don't know what it was in Egyptian terms a few thousand years ago, but just imagine in our terms the type of luxury that he lived in. And he was always catered to hand and foot, and he had servants his every whim was filled, and he had as much clothing and a beautiful place to live probably, and there's probably nothing that he needed. And anybody who knows people like that know that the most difficult thing for such a person is to be able to really, really understand what it means for someone to be b'tzar. Someone who himself has no matzav of tzar at all. Everything is givaldik, the most royal, unbelievable lifestyle. He's surrounded the cult of. It's very, very, very difficult for such a person to be able to identify with someone else's poverty, with someone else's tzar. It's a very, very, very difficult thing. It's not a pashut thing.
How do you get to feel like that?
We'll talk about it. I remember there was one time as a wealthy, I don't remember who it was, I just remember a couple of years back, maybe I was in Eretz Yisrael or something, and someone asked me why I'm not traveling somewhere, I don't remember what it was. So I said, I can't afford it. So he's like, yeah, but really, why aren't you going? It was like, you know, that's a thing to say, you know. That's like a line to say, I'm not going because I can't afford it. But he didn't understand what that really meant. You know, like money, lack thereof, to go. He just couldn't understand what that meant. It's a very, very hard thing for someone to understand, to be able to clearly be able to put himself into someone else's shoes. It takes tremendous, tremendous effort to be able to do that. So Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe grew up. He became a gadol in das, right? The Mefarshim say. Someone who has das, that's the first step. And he went out to his brothers. He was curious. What's the welfare? He cared. What's the welfare of Achenu B'nai Yisrael? I have brothers out there. The Ramban says on that pasuk, he was told that he's Jewish. He was told that those slaves are his family. I don't know. Ramban doesn't say. It says, Higidulai, Ramban says. Such a love. It doesn't say who told him. So he was curious, he was interested about the welfare of his his nation. Vayar b'siv loisam, and he saw in their hard work. Now, if you know Hebrew, vayar b'siv loisam is not proper Hebrew. And he saw in their work, it should say vayar esiv loisam. He saw their hard work. Not he saw in their hard work. And maybe that's what made Rashi say, or Rashi says over there, an unbelievable Rashi, Rashi says, Nasan Eino V'Liboy. He focused his eyes and his heart, Liyos Meitzer Aleim, to be hurt for them, to be pained by their work. Vayar, he saw Bisiv Loisam. He saw in their work, he saw in. He, not just the surface. He was able to penetrate. And that's the answer to your question of how is it possible to do it. The secret of being able to do it is in that Rashi. Nasan Einov V'Liboy. Einov means, the Einayim means he saw it, he observed it, he understood it. And then Liboy means that he thought about it. He thought about, how would I feel? He didn't just see something and block it out. He thought, but how would I feel in that situation? I wonder what it's like to be beaten. I wonder what it's like to be worked hard. I can't imagine what that's like. And he focused on being mitzayer to himself, on envisioning it to himself, to the point that Pashut hurt him so much that when he saw a mitzri hitting a yid, he killed the mitzri. That's the end of the pasuk. Vayar ish mitzri, makin ish ivri me'echov, and vayachas ha-mitzri, vayitzmeneo b'chol, he killed the mitzri. It reached such a boiling point by him that the next person he saw hitting a yid, he killed. That's noisa b'olam chaveiro. And it's an amazing thing. It's not like good midas, like a side thing. This is our introduction to Moshe Rabbeinu. And we have to understand when we learn Chumash, that learning Chumash, it's not, we think of it like some kind of compilation of beautiful stories about Gedolim or something, like a digest of stories. It's not that way. The Torah was written, every bit of information the Torah gives us, there's a reason that it's giving us that information. And Moshe Rabbeinu's role at Seif Kol Adairis, Moshe Rabbeinu's role is that he's the Nisin HaTorah. And the Torah, Rabbani Shlalem wanted that the first thing that we should know about the Nisin HaTorah, the very first thing that we should know, is that he cared about other people. Why is that necessary? Is it necessary to care about other people to understand the Rebbe Kivayger? Is it necessary to care about other people to be able to teach Shulchan Aruch? What's the pshat? So on a simple level, the pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu led Klal Yisrael. In order to be a leader, the worst leader is a leader who's can't imagine what it's like to be on the other side. That's the worst leader. A leader that knows what even the lowest person, the lowest level person, the Ani Ve'Evyon, feels like and what life is like for him. That person is a proper leader. My wife was in high school with a girl who was a balas tshuva. She was a balas tshuva, and ultimately she made her whole family from it. She was a balas tshuva on her own, a Russian family. And when she was in high school, I think 9th or 10th grade, a crazy accident happened. A telephone pole fell on her, and her arm was severed. She needed to have a fake arm. She needed to get they had to put a prosthetic limb on her. And I heard from the principal of my wife's school, I once heard him speaking, and I heard him describe what it was like to tell Rabbi Shechter what happened. They didn't have money, they were trying to raise money for her surgeries and everything. So he called him, and he described how he called Rabbi Shechter, he told him the news, and Rabbi Shechter sat there and cried like a baby. Cried and cried and cried and cried. Because he heard that some girl that he never knew before, never heard of before, someone who was Meisa Nefesh for Yiddishkeit, went through such a terrible accident when she was so young. Nasan Eino V'Liba Elias may be able to feel someone's tzar, that's a leader. But there's something more, and that gets into the whole discussion that we had about Chassidus. As long as my life is about me, I'm not shy of the Chassidus. As we talked about when we spoke about the first Rashi in the first Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim, that there's two ways that a person, there's two types of Yidden. And go look in the world, you'll see there's two types of Yidden. It's a clear, defining thing, there's two types of Yidden. There's one type of Yid who has a life, and he has an agenda to his life, and he has a goal to his life, whatever his own agenda is. Now, he knows that he's a Yid, and he knows that there's a Rabbi Nishalom, he has a Muna, and he knows that the Rabbi Nishalom placed certain responsibilities on him. So he makes sure to fulfill those responsibilities, and that they shouldn't fall at the wayside, even though he's pursuing a certain life. He gets it done. Is another person who his agenda is the Rabbi Shalom's agenda. His goal in life is whatever the Rabbi Shalom's goal for him is. The reason that he wants to live is to be Mekayim the Torah. He's not Mekayim the Torah because I have a responsibility to the Torah. He's Mekayim the Torah because that's what his life is all about. There is no other agenda. He goes to work because he has to support a family so that they can be the proper, firm family. He, whatever he does, when he takes a vacation, it's that he should have the strength to be able to serve Hashem properly. His whole life is about his service of Hashem. And you'll see, both of them might look the same, and they might look like two Erlich Hayidin. But there's a world of a difference between someone who's a person and also tries to fulfill what Hashem wants, and a person whose life is about fulfilling what Hashem wants. Both of them will be Mekayim the mitzvahs. Both of them will go to Olam Haba. We're not critical of anybody who's trying to do the right thing and be Mekayim Shulchan Aruch. But now that we're learning the Indian of Chassidus, I just want to bring out clearly the difference between the Chassid and the not Chassid. The not Chassid, the non-Chassid, is the one who his life is about himself. But he understands that he has a responsibility to the Rabbi Nishalayim, so he also fulfills the responsibility to the Rabbi Nishalayim. But his life is about himself. The chassid is the one who his life is about the Rabbi Nishalayim. We said in Moshe, I think before Pesach, when we were going through the newspaper ads, we had a couple of advertisements that we cut out to discuss in one of the shiurim. And we just a mashal. We're talking about somebody advertising. I don't know who it is, and I'm not going to say, you know, I don't know if it was right to say the name then. I'm definitely not going to say it now. But somebody who's a band that specializes in a cappella, so that you can make a simcha during the 3 weeks if you need to. We specialize simchas during the 3 weeks. So let's take out two types of yidden and how they would react to this thing. The person who, he has a life, he also wants to fulfill his responsibilities. So he's happy to know that there's such a band. Because Be'etzem, he has a simcha coming up. And he wants to enjoy that simcha. Okay, he has a responsibility to Shulchan Aruch. Okay, like this, he packed it up as responsibility to Shulchan Aruch. There won't be real music and so on and so on. He packed it up as responsibility. The chassid is the person who says, one second, if the Rebbe Shalom said no music during the 3 weeks, maybe it's not the time for a simcha. My own agenda is not important. The Rabbi Shalom has an agenda here. And maybe this is not the time for a simcha. Maybe Hashem doesn't want a simcha. It's not Hashem's agenda. And if it's not Hashem's agenda now, it's not my agenda either. There's a time for simcha and there's a time for avelos. The 3 weeks is a time for avelos. How did I get off on this in the middle of talking about Noisa Ba'olam Chaveray? Because it's exactly the same thing. A person who can't think about somebody else also can't think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who's so selfish that he's not able to absorb, to penetrate, to put himself in someone else's shoes. There's somebody else in the world besides for me. There's somebody else's needs in the world. There's somebody else's tsar. There's somebody else who I can make feel good. My whole life is not just about me. You know, there are people, it's a terrible thing, that all their friends are about them. They're friends with people because it's good for them. This one has a car, and this one has a house in the country, and this, you know, everyone, all of their friends are a mile to them, and this one is popular, so it makes me popular, and so on. Everything in their life is about them, but they're in the center of their universe. They're in the center. And everything in their life is how to push their agenda. It's not the most geschmacka friend in the world to have such a friend. I recently was talking to someone who was on the streets for a long time, and after he got a little bit older, he put his life together, and he's working now and learning and steiging, and a very, very special person. Very, 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 very special person. And I heard him talking, He was talking to me and to a few other people, and he was explaining the difference between his friends then and his friends now. He said, I used to think we had close friends, but I realized the only thing that we were close in is that we all wanted the thing that I wanted. We shared a common want, whatever it was, you know, it's on the streets. Now we have friends, what we share is that we care about each other, and we're there for each other, and we'll do anything for each other. It's a different type of friendship. What he was describing is exactly what I was saying. He shied from being the type of friend that my friends just serve to push my agenda, to being the type of friend that my friend is here for me and I'm here for him. Not because he's here for me, I'm here for him. My life is about me, but it's also about the people I care about. That person who's able to be nice about Olam Chaveiro, who's able to care about somebody else, that Moshe Rabbeinu, that's able to care about somebody else, he's right to give the Torah. He's right to teach Yidden about their responsibilities to Hashem. He's right to say Kedoshim to you. Because if we can learn at least that another human being is Taifas Makar, that there are other people in the world, then we've begun to understand the concept that we're not the center of the world. And if we can understand that we're not the center of the world, that's the beginning of being able to put the Rabbeinu Shlomo in the center of the world, of our world, and that's the beginning of growing in our Midas and in Chassidus.